Hello and welcome to a brand new show on the In the Money Media Network. So happy to be working with our friends at Gulfstream Park for these Gulfstream Park Players podcasts. We're going to be doing them every Saturday and Sunday, and then select weekends. We're going to be adding Friday shows as well, since it's opening weekend. This is one of those special ones. First person I'm going to introduce here is going to be on, I think, pretty much all of these shows. We had a lot of fun. We did a show up in Saratoga, and it's sort of like back by popular demand. He did such a good job on that one. Darren DeLucia, Double D, welcome to the In the Money Airwaves. Happy opening day.
Thank you, Peter. It's wonderful to be here. Hopefully, we're going to give out a lot of winners this meet. We're going to make people some money, and we're going to make Gulfstream proud of us for doing this show here.
That's the plan anyway. And taking a little bit of a different approach like we did in that Saratoga show, this isn't just about, you know, giving picks. It's about talking about betting opportunities and how to put together some tickets and bringing on some familiar voices and some voices that you don't get to hear as often. But I know before we kicked off the program proper, Darren, you had some people you wanted to thank.
That's correct. I wanted to thank the people that put this together for us for Gulfstream. I'd like to thank Mr. Aiden Butler, COO of First Racing. I'd also like to thank Michael Rogers. I'd like to thank Billy Badgett. And I'd like to thank Peter Rotondo. Those four guys put the show together. They liked it. Hopefully, we're going to, you know, make them proud. We're going to make a lot of fans come to the track. We're going to make a lot of fans come here and bet. A lot of fans come here and eat. People that haven't been in racing, that maybe going to hear our show, that never been to Gulfstream. We're going to show them a good time.
That's the idea. That's one of the things you do here at the track, Darren, is what's your actual title? I know you got a lot of VIPs who come by the suites here at Gulfstream where we're happy to be sitting today.
That's correct. I've been doing this since they built the new building when there was sand and there was tents. So I started here, you know, I got to learn the ropes, and I learned about getting a lot of people to come here, bigger gamblers that will never come in the Gulfstream. Then, you know, they come down in the winter. Then I have a lot of guys here year round. I have a big Spanish population, that, you know, from Hialeah that I grabbed. I go to West Palm. I go to Pompano. I just try to recruit them to come play, show them a good time, you know, give the track some handle so we all can make some money.
That's the plan. And we'll talk more about that and how folks interested might be able to link up with you at some point during these shows. But we got to get going here, man. We're going to probably record these the day before. Today, we're doing it day of. So we should dive in and talk about some racing. We're typically going to have at least one extra guest on these shows, on our Saturday shows. We're going to have JK joining us remotely today, though. We're very happy to have a guest joining us in person right here in the suites. And, you know, I'd give his resume, but I think we'd spend the rest of the show talking about that because there's a lot of interesting things to unpack. He's been a race caller, a leading trainer, a pundit, a ring announcer at the world's most famous arena, and currently an assistant trainer, a title that I think could probably be amped up a little bit based on the amount of work I know he does for the operation he's currently with. George Anthony, welcome to the In the Money Airwaves. How are things, my friend?
Oh, good to see you, Pete. Great to be down here at Gulfstream. Always have a great time here. Such a beautiful racetrack to come to. And I feel really honored to be here with you guys today to do this show and try and give a little insight, not only to the people who learn how to handicap, but maybe we can even tell some of the experts to show them a couple of things to try to give them a little advantage at the windows today.
That's the plan anyway. Since we're recording day of, let's just leap to the back half of the card. Typically on these shows, there's going to be a real focus on the late pick five. But today, the sixth race, the race before the pick five begins, is a stakes race, the Wait a While Stakes. And I remember her very well. She was quite the runner for the Todd Pletcher operation. And Darren, we were speaking off air, and I know you had a quick thought on this one. Why don't we start there?
This race looked to me like a lot of speed. It's going a mile. I kind of like when horses save ground. I'm just going to take a shot. First time in the country, horse's name is Sunstrike. Reason being is there's a lot of speed. Brandon Wolf, phenomenal trainer. The guy's really, really good with these turf horses. Paco Lopez are probably fighting for leading rider here with Luis Saez. I think if this horse just gets sit and he adapts well to the United States, maybe sit three, four, five lengths off, make one, you know, late run and mull down.
the old lone closer angle. We talk so much about lone speed. Sometimes that can be just as effective coming in the other way. And she's just 1 for 6 lifetime, but you know, the racing she was involved in overseas at Newmarket. I mean, the Rockfell Stakes, obviously major, major form there with Hello You and Cachet coming out of that one. So I definitely take your point. And then there was another runner you mentioned, might be a bit of a stinger, maybe more for underneath in your verticals, but one you thought might be coming late.
I mean, this is a crazy horse I'm going to give to maybe to hit the board, or hit the exacta, to try the super. What's his name? Is High Arabian. Are you going to say why? He's probably a little slower on the numbers. The horse won first time out at 84-1. I mean, if you hit him that day, you're going for a long vacation. So, and then he comes back, he runs second in an allowance race. Then he runs him in a grade 3. He didn't get beat a lot, but he was 100-1. Today he's going to be about 30-40-1. Just a shot in the triple, maybe the exacta. If he wakes up and rolls him down, you know, 30-41, then I'll look like a hero. So the two horses I'm going to use would be Sunstrike and High Arabian as a bomb. I mean, can the favorite win? Yeah, but you know, I'm not too keen on these speed balls going a mile.
The 2 with the 6 underneath, and indeed, if you get the 6 up into the number, it will be Julio get the stretch when it comes time for dinner tonight.
Correct.
Let's talk about this pick 5, race number 7. We've got $20,000 claimers, fillies and mares going a flat 5 on the synthetic. George, how are you looking to get this pick 5 kicked off?
I think Emirates Affair is going to be the horse to beat in the 7th race, 5 furlongs on the turf for these 20 claimers, non-winners at 2. We take a look a couple of races back. The horse was in a 30 claimer going a mile, and the horse had the lead basically in the stretch going 46 and change, 10 and change. And then, of course, the horse was off the turf in the last race. So even though the horse finished 2nd, I just want to throw that race out, go back to the race 2 back with Castillo. Now you get Paco Lopez here today, and you know he's all about speed. Here's a 6th time on the board out of 11 this year, and I think that's the horse to beat, who should be laying up close to the pace. She should be right there. And the shorter distance, obviously, she's going to have to step on the gas.
I like her, too. I think she's going to be able to sit handy and possibly finish in there. I was also given a look if speed is holding on the synth, which it does seem to do some days here, but not others. Daly's Humor looked a little bit interesting to me, maybe, as one to throw in there. Day's Humor, I should say. Double D, how do you see this one?
I see this one, see, before we go forward, you see this new track at Tapita. This is a very difficult track to handicap. The first 2 weeks that they ran under Tapita was all horses closing. The next 3 weeks after that, everything was speed. I don't know if there's a bias to it, so it's a little difficult. But in this race, I like Day's Humor. I'm taking a shot. He's the speed of the race, I believe. Jack Armstrong, Robert Mosco, their Parks trainer, Parks owner. I think Jack Armstrong was one of the leading owners there. The horse that George mentioned, Emirates Affair, it looks like they're going to go around the track 1-3. Now, if speed's holding, that's the way they're probably going to go. Hopefully, that's the way they're going to finish. I had one bomb in the race. This horse is probably off the wall. I was going to use Don't Lose Hope also in my pick 5 play. But one of my best bets of the day is Day's Humor. Wire to wire. That doesn't look like a lot of speed. And hopefully he can just keep on, you know, bring him home.
George, did you have any you wanted to mention to either run with Emirates Affair or to maybe use on your pick 5 tickets as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Going back to Pete's pick, you know, that's a 4-year-old, and there's only 2 4-year-olds going against the 3-year-olds in a race. And I'm a firm believer that these older horses seem to do really well. And Day's Humor, of course, in that race back at Belmont in May was a pretty good performance there. I got a 68 speed rating in the book here with Carmouche. And of course, is going to be a lot of speed. How about talking about the 5 horse in here who I think has a really legitimate shot, and that's that Miss Mamba. And if you look at Miss Mamba, 2 races back, this horse was flying late. I know the pace was really fast, 21 to the quarter in Kentucky, 44 and change, which really set it up. So if there's a lot of speed dueling in here and a lot of horses are starting to bang in the beginning of this race, this Miss Mamba could be just laying off the speed 2, 3, 4 lengths and make a run for it at the end. 5 furlongs is going to make it a little tough for us, so Gaffalione's going to have to step on the gas early and try to stay close.
Definitely some work needs to be done in terms of getting those closers involved at the flat 5, no matter what surface you're on. Let's talk about race number 8. We've got 3 and up, filly and mare, allowance types going a mile and a 16th on the turf. George, we're going to keep it with you for your thought on this one. We do have some scratches. I should have mentioned actually in the previous race that the number six is out in race seven. Here, moving on to race eight, you can just take out the also eligibles 13 through 16. George, what do you like here?
Well, you know, I'm trying to stay away from the chalk, and obviously at the first couple of races, it looks like it's going to be that way. And I like the 11 in here, and that's TikTok Famous, who's hit the board in four out of his last five starts. I think she finds a much softer spot in here today. As you can see, the horse was racing in some of these stakes at Gulfstream here. Broke her maiden at Gulfstream back at 7.5 furlongs, which was basically a wire-to-wire score, very sharp. Last time coming off the pace at 1.70 on the artificial surface. Going back to the grass today, I think she's a much better grass horse than she shows here. And I think she finds a field that she can really handle.
Any numbers to go with?
Yeah, absolutely. How about the four in there, Short Circuit? This horse had a really bad start in the last start, and she was blocked coming home in the stretch. Only got beat 2.5 lengths, and I think if you're looking for a price, you know, when you play the horses, you have to look for value. Value is very important. Smart players look for value, and this is a value that can make the exacta or using the trifecta worth your while. So she was 9-1 last time. I don't know if you'll get that today, but I think she had an excuse. And, of course, maybe looks to redeem. Two back, a sharp score, going 1.36 flat, convincingly and drawing away. And then I would like to also put in here maybe Traffic Song, the 7 horse in here, who's been facing much tougher stock. This is a well-bred, the 3-year-old filly. But take a look at her. She's raced at 4 different racetracks in 5 lifetime starts.
That's a good bit of a world traveler. Never need to twist my arm too much to use Jimmy Toner on tickets. Trainer, I think, is still very much, for whatever reason, in the modern game, under the radar, and you don't lose much there. And then Short Circuit, 20-1 on the morning line. Another one to, you know, really potentially pump up those pays.
Double don't be D. afraid, Peter. 20-1 is all right.
I love it. The bigger the price, the more you should bet. Darren, what do you like?
I'm going to agree with George here. I like TikTok Famous. Everything George said, he's 100% right. Horse running, much much better horses. The post, I'm not a fan of having that wide post, but she looks like she just lays over the field. I don't want to get caught in no speed duel. Gaffleon had a tremendous Churchill meet, Keeneland meet. The guy's one of the best riders in the country right now. If I was going to give you two bombs, another horse I agree with George, Traffic Song. Horse ran a lot of different tracks. I think he gets a little trip. You got a kid, Michael Sanchez, riding phenomenal in Parks and Laurel. He won the stake at Aqueduct the other day.
Michael Sanchez wrote for me at Parks. This kid is an up-and-coming, smart rider. He's got great hands, great patience, and great sense of pace. That's great rider, this kid.
Very good rider.
You're going to be hearing from this kid big time, and the fans should be watching out for him.
Love that info.
And I like to say, I think Safi Joseph is going to give Todd Pletcher a run for his money for this meet. From what I heard, he has about 100 horses. He's got all types.
Just 100.
Just 100. All types, claimers, maidens. I think he's gonna have a big meet. And there's another bomb I was going to give in the race, just for the pick five maybe. Follow the Flag. This horse will probably be 15-1. If you go about 4 back, he did win at Gulfstream last year with Louis Sayers. He ran a couple not-so-great races at Laurel. Let's just throw those out. I think today he could be a closer in a race, maybe get part of the exact or to try.
Darren, there was 2 long layoffs, and I agree with you. This is a live long shot. I agree so much, but this horse had 2 long layoffs, and the last one was 8 months, so that kind of gave me a little bit of a question mark here.
Could show a bad sign, something's wrong, the horse has a, you know, some kind of
We'll see how it plays out. I do like the fact, Darren, that your top pick, TikTok Famous. Maybe this is a goal by the end of this championship meet. Perhaps you could be TikTok Famous.
What do you think? Well, me and George could be both broke also. But
let's talk about race number 10, the hinge of this late pick five, or did I skip a race?
Yeah, I skipped a race.
We don't want to do that. Host fail, the first one on these shows. Race number 9, we've got the 2-year-old fillies in this starter allowance. This is the hinge of this pick five, going 6 furlongs on the dirt. Darren, who do you like in this field of 9?
I really like this race, and I'm going to tell you why. The favorite, 21 short, it looks like it was a private purchase of Georgina Baxter. Now, Georgina Baxter is a 25% trainer. The horse won like a killer, but that was in the slop. I'm not saying the trainer that didn't buy those, or Avilia, he's a pretty decent trainer. I think that race could be phony. I'm not sure. I was going to totally throw the horse out of every bet. I like a horse named Blaming on Rose. Here's the reason why. The horse is the only two-time winner in the field. Then they came up with an invention. They ran him on the turf in a $100,000 stake race. Then they ran him long in an optional $80,000 in California. Now he goes back to where he belongs. Sprinting on the dirt, his last two, he went easy. So I figure there's a lot of speed inside. Paco usually gets the horses in the race, stalks maybe two lengths off, sweeps the field. And I'm going to bring behind them, I was going to bring, I like Delray Dolly, the nine horse, sweeping on the outside for the exacta. And maybe I was going to use Michael Yates' horse, Cajun Cousin, on the rail to sit a trip. There could be some speed with the three, and then Safi's horses, the four and the five. So I just think the eight is really a play, maybe at 7-2, 4-1. That's what I was going to keep.
She looks strong and definitely dropping in class too, I think, into this spot. George, how do you see it?
You know, Darren talking about Blaming on Rose first, his California Shipper did face much better. I can tell you, though, as from a trainer's standpoint of view, sometimes these fillies, once they taste the grass, they don't like to go back to the dirt. And that happens with a lot of these young horses. Once they try the grass and they like it a lot, you put them back on the dirt and they don't want to go.
A little easier on the body, right? Less attritional.
I don't know. It's hard to say. I did use this horse second out of my three horses that I like in here. But I'm going to go to number four. That's Anna's Dream in this race. She raced poorly on the grass. If you take a look, switched to dirt and then made an easy score in a maiden 35. Take a look at the first time she was on the dirt. She was bet very well. She went off as an even money favorite, and she drew off in the lane. So I'm looking for Anna's Dream to repeat in here with a good post, has the speed on the inside, and of course you get Edgar Zayas up aboard. And I gave another shot here to the three horse, 21 short. I agree with you, Darren, 100%. This was a maiden quarter in the slop, and she's got to show me a lot more in here if she's going to be effective. She went wire to wire, but that was really soft. Looking for two in a row, there's one thing I always can tell you when we handicap races. When a horse is unbeaten, you don't know what they can do. They can always step up and go to the next level.
Unexposed, and you know, I get it, especially more in a backup role. Never a bad idea, really, at Gulfstream or any track to try to have that speed of the speed on side. So I definitely take that point of trying to get that one in there, at least as a defensive use. But, you know, from a gambling point of view, what Darren was saying, if you can just throw out the horse you know is going to be the favorite, it just comes down to where your opinion is and what your gambling personality is at the end of the day. Let's talk about the other stake race. We got the two-year-old Colts this time around in the pulpit, the other version of the wait a while for the boys this time, 1 mile on the turf, field of 12 going postward. And George, what do you think is going to happen in here?
This is my best bet of the day, Pete. This is number five in here, Red Danger. I think this is the best bet on the whole card for me. This horse is a colt, should be laying up close here today. Last seen, he was in a grade two when he was on the grass. It's only beaten a couple of lengths with Louis Saez. You get Leperu, who is no stranger here at Gulfstream Park. Of course, this horse was well bet. When he did run in the Bourbon, he was only 3-1 odds here. You're looking at a $400,000 winner so far early in this two-year-old's career. And then take a look at his workout, a nice breeze and 36 and change, ready to get him ready for today's race.
Who do you like to come with, or is this a stone-cold single for you in the pick?
It's going to be a single for me, but I think people should consider the seven in here, and that's Duke of Love. Now, you get Junior Alvarado. When Junior Alvarado comes to Gulfstream, he wants to make a splash because that's what he does. He's looking to get a lot of mounts here. And here's a Canadian Shipper who seems to me to be another main contender in this race here. Another horse who was bet well, first start over at Woodbine, who laid a few lengths off the pace and drew off kind of easily. And I think if anybody's going to upset my best bet, it's going to be Duke of Love. And I threw in one more horse in here, the two, Eldon Prince, who seeks his third straight win, another well-bred colt with a two-back and easy win on the turf.
I am interested in that Duke of Love pedigree for the grass, too, with the Smart Strike Dam and Cupid on the top. Double D, I think you tipped your hand, but you have a strong opinion in this race, too. Is it the same one that George came up with, or did
no,
you have something
not,
else?
No, it's not, but I do like George's pick. I'm going to take a little stretch here. My best bet of the day is the horse named Biz Buzz the One. And you're going to ask me why. First time out, the horse ran like a killer. Then he came back in a grade three. He got beat a length. Hit the gate. Could have possibly won. Just throw it his last race. Totally bad. Now he's stretching out. He's on the rail with a kid that me and George spoke about, named Michael Sanchez. Mm-hmm. Now, I just want to say something about Michael Sanchez. He's handled by an agent named Scott Silva. Had Trevor McCarthy.
Yeah, I know Scotty. He's a very sharp guy.
Very sharp. He has Victor Carrasco. Scotty is probably one of the best agents in the Mid-Atlantic. Every jockey he touches turns to gold. Michael Sanchez, he won two stakes last week, one for Kelly Breen at Laurel, a horse named Pick and Tine, a Jersey bred. He won a stake with a – I don't know how he won the stake the other day with a bomb at 18-1 at Aqueduct. It was at the Fall Highway.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Michael Trimbetta had a pretty good Gulfstream last year. So I think this horse sits the rail, could be on the lead. I mean, he's coming out of sprints, doesn't have to be. And I also like George's other two horses that he said. I mean, Red Danger is probably a little better than my horse, but I'm going to take a shot. I think Red Danger, he's coming out of the two best races. He's going to be right near the lead. He's going to sit there with Lou Peru. You know, he don't like on the lead. Lee Peru, he likes to sit.
I think the question really for a Biz Buzz is going to be, can he go long? Of course, he hasn't proven to me yet that he can go long, and that's what we're going to have to gamble on. If you like that horse, that's really the main question for him.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I mean, on pedigree, there are some clues that look okay. I'm a little worried about the pace figures, you know.
Might be a little slow. I'm not going to – I know Red Danger is probably the horse to beat. Hmm. And also the other horse, George said, that's my other horse, Duke of Love. Josie Carroll from Canada is a killer.
Yes,
that lady's a real good trainer. I mean, those three horses, I can't go past those three. That's what I would be sticking on there.
Some good stuff. Two stakes here on this Friday. Of course, a loaded card tomorrow. We'll be back with another show then. But we wrap up today with race number 11. We've got $12,000 claimers, three and up going a mile and 70 back on the synthetic. And Darren, the key question we're going to ask at the end of all these shows when it gets to our nightcaps, how are we going to get paid?
I had to pick five to bail out. This race here, I hate these races. Two lifetime, these are the worst of the worst. I mean, now it's on a Tapeta track. The horse dropping down Ocean Ridge. I mean, question marks, but this is the class of the race. I mean, this guy's looking for a win probably opening day here. I'm going to have to say Ocean Ridge is a candy bar. I mean, the rest of these horses are a bunch of junk. I mean, I'm not disrespecting nobody. But these look like a bunch of
half the owners at Gulfstream are going to be crossing you off the Christmas card list, and it's only December 2nd. What's going on here?
We're here to make money. We're here to win. George, Pistol Pete, and myself, we're here to make money.
It didn't take long for the Pistol Pete thing to come back. I was hoping you'd forgotten about that.
I just want people to understand. We're not here to hurt anybody's feelings, or we're not here to, you know, to ride anybody. We're here to make money. The name of the game is they're trying to listen to us, some expertise we have to make them money. We're not here, you know, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just telling the truth.
So you're going to, in this race, I was thinking the way you were describing it, you were going to say use as many as you can.
I'm going to use a bunch, but okay. I think Ocean Ridge,
You were going to stone cold single in this race. Well, I was going to think it's very brave or very stupid. We'll let the audience decide.
A guy like me, I put in different tickets. I don't just put in one pick five if I could afford it. I put in three, four, or five different tickets singling.
Well, you have to spread out. There's no other way.
You know, this track Gulfstream, sometimes you get grab bag here. This is like a, you know, you can get a Christmas cookie here in the middle of the card, you know, maybe a $20 or $25 horse, and that's where the pick five is going to start paying in the thousands.
Give me you don't even have to run through the cases. Give me your numbers for the spread. We'll bring in George to get his thoughts, and then I want to talk a little bit more about your specific approach to how you want to gamble on this thing. But what are some other numbers here that'll be on your spread?
Listen, my ticket's a little heavy. I hopefully anybody that has some money maybe is going to follow it. I might have money today, but not tomorrow. But this is the way I was going to go. We start out the pick five starts in the 7-3s.
Okay.
I was going to single Day's Humor in one ticket. And then what I was going to do is I was going to spread the other races.
Okay.
If you want me to read it the way I have it.
We'll do it. You know what? We'll do that at the end. Let's get George's thoughts specifically on this race, and then we'll bring you in to give your full run if you're good with that.
I'm good with that.
Excellent.
Going back to Darrell's pick on this Ocean Ride, it's the first time he's been on the grass, beaten favorite two times in a row here. I think the horse might be overbet in here today. I'm stepping out in the last race. I'm stepping out. I'm going for a bomb in here, and I think we'll see if I'm right. I think the morning line is way off on this horse, and that's the number nine horse, Sweeney's Cat, in here with Panisi riding aboard. I'm completely throwing out that last race, which was on the dirt. The horse didn't belong there. Overmatched at 21-1. Drops back down to the 12-5 number here. And take a look at his last four races on the turf. The horse has a win in 2 seconds and a fourth. This horse is meant to be really good in here. I think that's, if you're looking for a long shot to kick off the back part of the pick five, I think that's the horse to beat. How about this horse in here, the 10? And this is really a horse that's puzzling if you look at him, because if he's right, he's going to run off the screen and jog in here. And that's KK Ichikawa with Michael Sanchez in here. This horse, I saw him up at Belmont in Saratoga, and he ran against some really good 40 claimers, now winners of two, and some really fast times. You look at the time at August 14th at Saratoga, where the horse only got beat four lengths in a mile that went in 34 and change. And he raced against horses like King James, and he pulled up and walked off after the race. He only went off 5-1 in that performance. And I think that if this horse is right, and I don't know what's going on with him, because obviously I didn't like his last two starts, but on the big, big drop down here from Mike Trombetta, I think that he deserves a look in here to maybe do some damage.
If neither of you had mentioned KK Ichikawa, I was going to, just a horse I've followed pretty closely and looking at a couple of different, I don't know the pedigree well, but just looking at a couple of different like breeding algorithms I look at sometimes to predict who's going to do well on what surface, KK Ichikawa looks potentially well suited to the sin. So Darren, you were going to give us your run. And yeah, why don't you
hit us? I just could say one thing about the list.
Oh,
my second choice was the bomb that George had with Sweeney's Cat. Everything he said was correct. That is a bomb today. The thing I don't agree too much is the horse, the 10. The only thing, he's the class of the race, but it comes from Rudy. I just was
you
a
don't
little
like off Rudy necessarily?
I don't always like off Rudy, some of them higher profile trainers.
But Rudy don't scare me, Darren.
All right.
None of them scare me.
You know, one thing I've noticed, and we're going into all kinds of tangents, and that's kind of fun, but when you get trainers with – anytime as a trainer change from like what I perceive as like one very different style to another different style, I like that because I sometimes think it can just like maybe move a horse forward a little. And Rudy, you know, to me, I think of classic claiming game, and then, you know, Trombetta training at Fair Hill. It just strikes me as like a very different style. So I was actually gonna, I know what you mean. It's not, you're not gonna get rich claiming off of or betting horses claimed off Rudy Rodriguez, but at the same time, situationally, I thought it might be okay. Just because of that contrast in styles.
I did good claiming off of Rudy, Pete. We had some nice horses. Javelin was one of my five-time winners a couple years ago off of Rudy. So, but we're friendly against each other. You know, a good thing that I think people should look at when they handicap the races, there are certain things that I'm going to call it being an angle player. Angles. Trainer change, blinkers on, blinkers off, an apprentice riding, weight on and weight off, things like that kind of a nature where they don't show much in the program, but there's an angle of why maybe you want to take a shot with a horse. And I've caught a lot of pick threes and pick fours just on that premise alone, a claim, a different rider, and et cetera, where you can get lucky just on an angle because they're not showing much in the program. So that's something for fans to look at as well.
For sure. It's the way to look at the world a little different out of the box, you know, as opposed to just looking at what's there in the form. Double D, let's hear these tickets. You had two you wanted to give us.
I want to give two. They're a little expensive, I mean, but remember, that, you know, we're on a podcast.
You gave your top picks, so people could go back and call according
to the budget.
Here's
what I'm going to do. I made two tickets out with two different singles. Both singles are about 5-1. They'll probably be about 7-2. So here's my ticket. The 7th race, I was going to single Dejumer. I don't think it'll be 6-1. I think it'll be 7-2, 3-1, only because of connections. You know, people don't know. Jack Armstrong and Moscow are good. They're from Parks. They're good. Good connection. He was my single. The next leg I was going to spread, use 2, 5, 7, 10, 11, 12, even though I do like TikTok Famous as my better bet, but I'm not going to single them. Third leg, I was going to use 5 pieces, 1, 4, 7, 8, 9. I'm not singling Blame on Rose, but I like her the best. I hate the favorite in there. 21 short. So tomorrow when I come back on the show, people want to come after me with an axe. I don't think that horse is hitting the board.
You might be 20 short by tomorrow.
I, like he just said, George said, 2 minutes ago about angle. I'm a big angle guy against a favorite. When I hate a favorite and you're gambling, you throw a favorite out and you're going to get paid.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100% on that.
Bring us through to that fourth leg.
The fourth leg I was using, on one ticket, I'm using 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, 12. But then in my backup ticket on the other side, I was in a single biz buzz.
Biz buzz. That's the one in the fourth leg.
That's on my second ticket. Yep. And then the last leg I was using was a late scratch, and I had a scratch on the 8. So I was going to use 4, 7, 8, 9. I'm going to throw George's 10 in there.
4, 7, 8, 9, 10.
He says, off Rudy, you can do it, so I'll go with him.
And then on the second ticket, I assume where you're singling in the fourth leg, you're probably going to be spreading in that first leg where you'd single Dace Humor on the other one. So who'd be your backups, your big spread?
I was going to use 1, 2, 3, 5, 8 in the first leg with the same horses next leg, 2, 5, 7, 10, 11, 12 with 1, 4, 7, 8, 9, singling Biz Buzz Buzz, and then use 4, 7, 8, 9, 10 in the last. So one ticket, I think, is like 400 change. The other one's like 375.
I think I'm just going to go to the bank now and go get a loan at 6.5% interest because I think I have to refinance my house to get this big five going.
Well, the beauty of it is, you know, folks can adjust accordingly because we've got the top picks in sort of a traditional way. And then we've got the big spread, the way that Double D's actually looking to play this thing. Folks can mix and match. Those looking to get the notes, you know, obviously some crazies are probably taking notes as we go. But if you do sign up for our In the Money Plus service, I'll send you out a little digest that recaps all the picks. You can check that out, inthemoneypodcast.com/plus. This was fun, gentlemen. Really enjoyed getting a chance to chat with you about this card. Really excited about the stakes action on opening day. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be back Sunday and back every Saturday and Sunday of the meet. And this is the kind of chatter that you can expect, taking a deep dive, looking at things a little differently. We'll have our man JK with his thoughts on the late pick five on tomorrow's show as well. That should be fun. But otherwise, any closing thoughts, George, from you on this card or anything about the upcoming Gulfstream meet? Whatever, last chance to say whatever you want to say.
Well, it's just great to be here. You know, it's just a wonderful track to come down to in the winter. And I always like to coming down here to see all the horses. We treated very well. The fans have a wonderful opportunity to see the horses up close. And it's what it's all about, is to come here, have some fun. You don't have to come here with a whole bunch of cash. You can... This is the greatest thing in the world is Parimutuel Racing, where for 50 cents, you could walk out of here with thousands of dollars. That's what it's all about.
That is what it's all about. Double D, a closing thought from you.
Closing thought from me would be, first, I want to thank Gulfstream once again.
Please.
You know, I'm here year round. You know, I have a big following. You know, now I have George. We have a guy named Lawrence P. Roman is another big owner at the racetrack. Sure. Give us a hard time in the room, but we can deal with it. You know, we have a lot of people coming in and out of the room, Suite 19. Hopefully we can bring some more players in, some more people to the restaurants, more people to gamble. The name of the game is come to the track and bet, have fun, and we could build the handle up at the racetrack. How everybody makes
having fun is what it's all about. And Absolutely. If you make a few extra bucks on top of that, that's just the cherry on the sundae as far as I'm concerned.
And the most important thing is George, Pistol Pete, and myself, we need to win. Or else this show's not going to go anywhere.
Let's see how we can get things kicked off, hopefully with a nice winning day. And I do have to say, getting out of the cold of New York down to the Florida sunshine, it's good for the soul, my friend.
Pete, if I could say one last thing.
Please.
I'd like to thank you and Mr. Kitchman. I'd like to thank you guys for putting this together. You know, it's real nice of you put me on, and I brought some people on as George, I respect. I think he's a very good handicapper.
He's done a great job.
He speaks really well. Very knowledgeable guy. So I think that, you know, as a team, we're going to do really well together.
This is only my 45th year, Peter. I just wanted you to know it's not my first rodeo.
You're a rookie over here? Is that what you're saying? Well, listen, Double D, I will give you, to me, if people who know me and my approach to business and life will know that this is pretty much the best compliment I give somebody. You're a doer in a world full of talkers, and we appreciate that.
Thank you, sir.
We appreciate that over
here.
Thank
you for having me on, and I'd like to thank George for coming on.
Definitely.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, guys. I look forward to doing it again and again.
Let's get some winners.
Let's say hello to all of the fans and hope they have a great day today. And we hope that we helped you make a few bucks, and that's what it's all about.
We'll see how it all plays out in a few hours' time. Thanks again, George. Thanks again to Double D. Thanks again to our friends at Gulfstream. Thanks most, though, to all of you, the listeners. We want to hear your feedback on these shows. If you've got questions, hit us up. You can get me inthemoneypodcast.com. There's a contact page right there. It goes right to my personal email, or hit me up on Twitter at LoomsBoldly. We're not TikTok famous yet, but we're going to try to get there today. Maybe we'll launch a TikTok for the show. We can see Double D dancing in the suite. I think that could be a lot of fun. This show has been a production of In the Money Media. Our business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornatale. May you win all your photos.